Blog Talk Radio.
Ooh. Yeah, yeah. You already know what time it is. It's that official time. When we take this worldwide. Let's go. Listen, listen. So now it's time to turn it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape, definitely bringing you the power slamming pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in and recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really could have devoured him. And from that point then we hear a name change, rearrange the game, so now we gotta change. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam Show. Let's go!
Listening to the Pancakes and Power Slam Show by Crave Wrestling on Blog Talk Radio. Be sure to follow Crave Wrestling on Twitter at Crave Wrestling and join the Facebook fan page Crave Wrestling.
Indeed, 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 ladies and gentlemen, we have not heard that in a while. I just may bring that back. But ladies and gentlemen, this is episode 259 of the Pancakes and Power Slam Show. We are live and living color, getting funky like a monkey, if you will. I am Chris Featherstone, of course, ladies and gentlemen. And we're going to have an action-packed night. We got so many headlines to talk about from the past week. And, of course, we have Raw and SmackDown. Flavor of the week this week is we're going to talk about WrestleMania 31. Last week, we analyzed the WrestleMania 30. This week, we're going to analyze just the ins and outs and just awkward moments of WrestleMania 31. Next week, we're going to do WrestleMania 32. And we're going to have some fun, ladies and gentlemen, as we do every single week. Ladies and gentlemen, this weekend, I was able to go to the World Classic Professional Big Time Wrestling show in Adena Mania, Frankfort, Ohio, about an hour and 10-minute drive from my house, and it was fantastic. It was really, really, really fun. Very, very fantastic. Really, really good crowd. It's probably, I'd say 300 people or so, 300-400 people, which is pretty good for a high school gym and an indie show. those crowd, that's a pretty good indie show crowd. So it was packed in there. It was really cool. I had a chance to talk to my friend Bobby Fulton, who put it all together. He's having another show on April 22nd. We'll continue to plug his shows here on this show. He's a great guy. So, I don't mind at all promoting his shows, but and I have interviewed Shane Douglas on his show, doing one of his wrestling shows. This week I got to bring my wonderful son, one of my sons, Elijah. He'll be 5 in a little under 6 months, and he loves wrestling. When he gets a chance to watch it, when he's a good boy, he'll watch wrestling, and he'll just talk my ear off and just really analyze and ask me a whole bunch of questions. And so I took him to Adena Mania. And he really enjoyed himself. Pictures is actually on my page, my Facebook page. And one of the pictures was Bobby Fulton. Another picture was my friend Sean Onyx. I interviewed him a long time ago. I interviewed him in 2012, I believe, here on the show. And so, yeah, it was great. It was a great time. And I got to talk to Road Warrior Animal, WWE Hall of Famer, Road Warrior Animal. We talked to him just about different things. He's going to be at WrestleCon, so we talked about that and a couple other things. One of the things that we talked about, I asked him about Paul Ellering. And of course, Paul Ellering is a WWE Hall of Famer, and he is, you know, he's one-third of the Road Warriors. The Road Warriors, Legion of Doom, is my favorite tag team of all time. And so Hawk, Animal, Paul Ellering, they are three P's in the Road Warrior pod. Yeah. And, yeah, it was great to talk to him. You know, it's one of those things, you know, they say, never meet your heroes because you'll be let down. Sometimes that's not true. And you know, to meet someone who's been on my favorite tag team of all time, ever since I've known about wrestling, I've always been a Road Warriors fan. The Road Warriors, to me, from a single standpoint, everybody knows Sting is the GOAT. From a tag team standpoint, everybody knows, and in my opinion, the Road Warriors are the GOAT. So to speak to Animal, and he was very conversational. He was really cool to talk to. He's a really, really good guy. So you're going to listen to a clip of part of our conversation, a short clip of his take of Paul Ellering managing the Authors of Pain. I was very, very surprised of his take on the Authors of Pain and basically Paul Ellering coming back. Has, you know, I'm sort of, people who are listening to this show are very aware of NXT. If you're not, WWE Network NXT, Shinsuke Nakamura is one of the best. He's one of the best characters in all of professional wrestling, not just the WWE. Bobby Roode, the current champion, the glorious champion. He's also a great character as well. NXT is really, really good brand. And so, Authors of Pain, they're the tag team champions. They are managed by Precious Paul Ellering. Of course, I don't think he's Precious anymore, but he's Paul Ellering still. And Paul Ellering, of course, managed the Road Warriors, the Legion of Doom. And so I asked Road Warrior Animal about his thoughts, and this is what I got.
So what do you think about Paul Ellering? The Authors of Pain.
I feel bad for him.
Oh, really? Just NXT.
So green.
Yeah.
You got to start somewhere, but.
Yeah. At least he's trying to make him somebody. You know what I mean?
The only problem is when you start managing two big guys, everybody's going to prepare behind them.
Brutal is Brutal. Right.
The rock is never going to be on the road. That's the problem that you're having now.
No, it's not.
They're company.
Seven.
They have this tension coming out, and the
tension. Oh, they didn't. They didn't do anything.
So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. That is that is Road Warrior Animal's take on Paul Ellering, and he was talking about you know, them trying to be a duplicate of a big guy team like the Road Warriors, and he also mentioned the Ascension doing the same thing. So I'll bring the co-host in, Evan Tech Prout, to get your thoughts about Animal's thoughts on Paul Ellering managing the Authors of Pain.
What's going on, guys? How you doing? It's an honor to be on the show tonight. As always, you hear me clear?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Animal, it was surprising. I would have thought Animal would have said more positive things about Authors of Pain, but, you know, so like you said, anybody that's managed by Paul Ellering, title ring will be compared to the Road Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
And sadly, that is true. I mean, granted, of course, you know, we have two of the same GOATs. Everybody knows me, Sting being the GOAT in singles and Road Warriors tag. But, I honestly never thought, looking at the Authors of Pain, I don't think it'll roll with him unless he Paul Ellering. Of course, we know his history, but when I see the author of the chain, I just see them as, okay, this is the, you know, one of the up-and-coming tag teams in the WWE NXT, and Paul Ellering now is going to, you know, using his legendary skills to groom a new tag team. I honestly never looked at them and compared them to the Road Warriors, but, I mean, that's just us. I mean, that's just how we are. The general populace is going to compare them to the Road Warriors, of course. And, granted, you know, it's not really Paul Ellering's fault, but, you know, Paul Ellering is only known for managing one group, and that's the Legion of Doom of Road Warriors. Like, you know, Heenan or Cornette or, you know, the Grand Wizard or, you know, Jimmy Hart. You know, they were successful managing multiple wrestlers, singles and tag teams. Paul Ellering, he only managed the Road Warriors. He didn't manage anybody else.
Right.
So, this is my take on it.
Yeah, that's true. I think you brought in some really good points. And I was thinking about that, too, as far as Ellering is concerned. I mean, of course, he's a WWE Hall of Famer. He was worth, you know, he's worth being in Hall of Fame because he was definitely just as important of a part as the, you know, in the Road Warriors as Hawk and Animal was. But it's, you know, he hasn't, you know, he did some stuff before the Road Warriors. He did some wrestling before the Road Warriors, and he did some managing. But at the same time, you know, even with the experience that he had well before affiliating himself with the Road Warriors, you know, he's only really known for one thing. Now, of course, we can, unfortunately, we can go to the Attitude Era and you know, talk about how he, you know, didn't he go rogue and end up end up managing draws and what team was he? Did he manage that?
What team it was. He went rogue, and you know that. Gosh, I have to look that one up. I remember he went rogue, and he left the Road Warriors, and then he went back with them. Like I said, it's not his fault. He's only known for managing one
DOA.
Oh, yeah, the Settlers of Apocalypse, that never happened.
The DOA, ladies and gentlemen. He went rogue and managed the DOA. Oh, that was horrible. But, yeah, so there was – I do remember watching the Road Warriors DVD. I have it, and I remember watching it. I think I watched it a few times, and I did remember Ellering saying that it was tough – not being able to manage anybody but the Road Warriors. And it was just a really weird spot when Ellering was managing the DOA because the DOA was trying to get some steam. Here's my take. I think the Authors of Pain is pretty good. I think they're pretty good characters. I think they're very dominant. I think they're really fitting their role. The Road Warriors were baby faces, you know, the majority of their careers. The Authors of Pain are heels, so there's some distinctions. I can understand where Animal is as far as like Ellering. I mean, when you think of Paul Ellering, you think of the Road Warriors. But I think with Ellering's Hall of Fame experience, with his, you know, with his skill set, with his prowess, with his abilities, with his experience, I think bringing him to manage the Authors of Pain was actually, I was very critical about it in the very, very beginning. But in turn, I think without Ellering, Authors of Pain would be a lot less relevant than they are now.
Exactly. Yeah, in Authors of Pain, they don't resemble anything of the Road Warriors. And granted, you have the Ascension, you know, they had the Pain, and, you know, the whole stuff, of course. And I know Road Warrior Animal dissed them as well. But, you know, that could be more understandable looking at the Ascension, the beginning days of comparing them to the Road Warriors. But not to the same, I mean, the outfits of like Call of Duty, similar to how the Shield wore the SWAT outfits, and they were nothing like the Road Warriors. Like you said, Dogs of Pain, the heels. Road Warriors were heels before, the baby faces. They really didn't do anything. Similar to a prerequisite of Austin, Road Warriors didn't ever change up their style. They always wrestled the same. It's just, all depends on who they went against. Depends on if they got cheated or booed. But I agree. Authors of Pain, one of the good up and coming tag teams, and it's not the manager, the art of the manager in pro wrestling is dead. Mm-hmm. And others of pain is blessed and fortunate to the fact that they can say, well, we at least have a Hall of Fame manager with us.
Right.
That still looks good. He looks just like he did in the '80s.
Yeah.
Close with the addition of some wrinkles.
And he's 63 years old.
Right. Same bald head, same
right.
goatee, same Wall Street, Wall Street Journal. That he actually
you need to bring out his newspaper from now on, though. Like every now and then I see it, but he needs to bring out the newspaper all the time.
Yeah, the Wall Street Journal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he actually does read it. Authors of Pain are fortunate to have a legendary manager that
mm-hmm.
still looks good, that still can work, that still can be under that tutelage, because most legendary managers, especially for us, they pretty much unfortunately, the Bobby Heenans, who, can't speak anymore, or a lot of them are dead.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're not with WWE anymore, when they're too vocal. So.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I agree. I think it'll be interesting. I think it made more sense that the Authors of Pain are the tag team champions now. If they would have just came and ran roughshod against DIY or Revival at that time they were feuding against the American Alpha as well. If they would just have came just them, nobody would have known who they were. They automatically got, assumed an identity that was a lot more important than just them coming out themselves, because Paul Ellering came out. I remember the shock factor for me, it was like, wow, he's actually managing a heel team now.
Right.
What I mean? And it's because he was so used, because for so long the Road Warriors were baby faces and he was managing them. Before he worked in AWA and Mid-South and things like that. So I know that, he was a heel manager.
Mr. Dot com.
Yeah, yeah. But for so long, he was the manager of the babyface Road Warriors tag team. So to come out and to, manage a heel team, it's pretty interesting. I've grown accustomed to it, and I think that the Authors of Pain is definitely a reputable, team with Ellering, as opposed to without Ellering, they'd just be lost in the sauce. But like you said, the art of the manager is gone now. So with the manager coming back, to NXT, I think it really added a really good element that a lot of people need. I mean, we see it all the time as far as people just kind of murking, in the mid card, and a manager would just lift them up so much.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, let's get to the headlines. Here we go. So, here's the thing. Finn Balor comes back, makes his debut in Buffalo. And it was him, Jericho, and Zayn defeating Triple H, Kevin Owens, and Samoa Joe. I was a huge fan, as Donald Trump would say, a huge fan and of Finn Balor and NXT. He was a heel, so I didn't like him in New Japan, but that was the point. So he was doing it well. He was a heel. He was in the Bullet Club, and the Bullet Club was very infectious. They were very dominant. They weren't as diluted as they are now. The whole Bullet Club thing, he was one of the people who started it. He was the man in the junior heavyweight division in New Japan. So, feuded with Kota Ibushi a bunch of times. They had a bunch of very good matches. So he was really, really good, his character and the paint and all that. That was all really cool to see when he was in NXT. But, man, he's like a dwarf out there now in the main roster on Raw. And it just really turned me away when he came on the main roster and his
first day, you know, when they unveiled that Universal Championship, you know, he beat Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns. And I'm like, why? Like, you usually have the babyface chase the title. That's where all the steam come from and all the pops. You know, the heel is supposed to generate all the heat to basically give over to the babyface and make that moment. But you have Finn Balor, relatively unknown to a lot of people in the main roster. They have no clue who he is. Didn't come out in the paint. People don't know who he is. And he wins the Universal title the first day. And I'm like, ah, this is bad news. And so that really turned me off with Finn Balor. And I've, you know, I've been writing for various sites. I'm glad to say after a near 2.5 year hiatus, I'm back with Wrestling Inc. And so, you know, so, wonderful, yes. Yeah, and I'm still strong with the Inquisitor, of course, and I still have an amicable relationship with Sports Kid. Still going to be doing some work over there. But yeah, it's still, you know, here's the thing, writing for all the sites and still freelancing with Sports Illustrated and Fox Sports. Writing for all the sites that I write, I look at a whole lot of comments. Of course, I get a lot of comments on the Crave Wrestling Facebook page as well. I would say that from all the comments that I've read about Finn Balor, it's starting to become like a 50-50 of people who just have no interest in Finn Balor anymore because he's so small, because he's dwarfed, you know, over all the other, you know, competitors on the main roster, and people just don't buy into his gimmick.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, I've been following Balor since he was Prince Devitt. Like you said, in Japan and wrestling around the world, I always was a fan. The problem is WWE, everything is the land of the giants. You can be a great indie wrestler, and if you're not, like I told you before, I'm personally good. I'm really cool with AJ Styles. I've eaten dinner with him. We've texted. We've talked. You know, because he's a Christian, such as we are. AJ Styles is around regular people. is a nice sized man. You know, he's not a small guy.
Right.
I mean, he's not the biggest guy, but he's a nice sized guy. Even he is small within the world of WWE.
Yep.
And when you're Finn Balor, and him, he looks like a midget. And I think I even joked with you earlier and said, I saw him on my show, the cruiserweights, they're like the action figures. They keep saying the monster among men, Braun Strowman. It's like the action figures among men, among giants. Is this they look like the little Japanese
like
military going against Godzilla. Right. Balor looks like an action figure. You Triple H and Samoa Joe necessarily isn't dwarfed. Joe's body type, he gets away with it, but
right.
It's like, man, right. I've always been a fan of Balor. I didn't have a problem with him winning the Universal title. It's just that he was on Raw. Raw's the land of the giants. Everybody on Raw is huge. And unfortunately, if you're a small guy or medium-sized guy, as Paul always joking, see, his promo, you know, you're the medium-sized man, you need to be on SmackDown. And it's like WWE, I don't know what they're waiting on. I don't know if they're getting hit up because of daylight savings time, but it's 3 weeks away. What are you waiting on? The Balor's supposed to be facing Joe. And I don't want to get on a random tangent about the unfortunates of WrestleMania this year, people that's got great that has been pushed so greatly or correctly, but it's like, what are you doing for Mania? Like, you have nothing to do. What is Joe going to do? Balor can come back to the ring. They still haven't brought him back to the main roster. Are you going to wait till the week before Mania? Or are you going to make it like a downloadable match where we're at Mania Live and it's like, oh, wait,
right.
Balor against Joe. It's like, what are you waiting for? You
could downloadable match, exactly.
Yeah, you could have made him already come back. You keep trying to wrestle, still make him come back. But, yeah, like I said, I like Balor. I do. I definitely do.
Yeah, I like him too. He was one of my favorite competitors in the entire WWE while he was in NXT. I think Finn Balor
was one of the people who really put NXT on the map as far as just being a standalone brand. I think that he did a fantastic job. Him and Samoa Joe, their feud, it was really good. The matches were fantastic, and it was good. I mean, I really enjoyed NXT. NXT to me, it was must see when Finn Balor was there. And I think that it was mostly because his character really fit the type of crowd. You have 400 people, 300 to 400 people in Full Sail that, are really into professional wrestling. There's not a lot of casuals. I mean, there's more casuals dipping into NXT, but it's, NXT is typically not a casual heavy brand whatsoever. So when you're having people like Finn Balor, and he's a true baby face, people love him. He's not getting any boos. People are really engulfed into his character. I think that's the stuff that I like, because, wrestling is about characters more than it's about anything. And when they when they show Finn Balor, when the lights come off, even when you don't have the paint, he does the arm raise thing that corresponds with the lights, and the crowd is really getting into it. That's what I really, really like. But, I really want to see that at WrestleMania, because I think that'll be fantastic. Because I've been there live many times to see Finn Balor. And he's small in person, too. I'm a small dude. I'm about 6'5", about 280. Weightlifting strong. What'd you say?
Weightlifting strongly, Bill Kazmaier. Shout out to
Kazmaier. Yeah. I don't have the Kazmaier. I don't have the where you have the bodybuilders. You got that gut. That just is out there.
Big old gullet. This swollen stomach. Swollen hump.
Like trap. You got traps out of this. Traps that look like mountains. You have a chest that are like two zip codes, and then you have that gut that's just sticking out there. I'm not that guy. I lift all the time and I work out like crazy, but I don't have the bodybuilder gut, thank God. But
what are opposites? I'm not 6 feet. I'm only 5'9". I'm about average height. I'm not a short guy. I'm not the tallest. I'm 5'9", and I'm about 155 or 60. I do work out and lift. I'm not a power lifter, but I'm in good shape, and I'm, nice build, nice cut. But even myself, I just feel like a regular guy. But good Lord, Daniel Bryan,
a lot of ROH guys are small too. I've noticed that too.
I'm a little taller, and a lot of people. Fans that's listening, there's a difference between actual height and weight and there's build height and weight. And then, we've met tons of these guys personally and at shows backstage where, hey, you won't see them on TV and you look at them personally, huh?
Yes.
How are you 5'11"? Look at the same height. 5'9".
Yes.
How are you 5'11"?
Especially with the ROH guys. Like, I'll be next to a bunch of people. I was next to Jay Lethal. He's smaller than I am.
He's got to be like 5'10", 5'11".
Yep. Christopher Daniels is shorter, smaller. Adam Cole is smaller and shorter.
Cole.
I mean, just about every single person in ROH, I'm taller than. I would say that, like, someone like a Kenny King is probably about my size and my height. But anybody else, I mean, I'm even taller than Hansen is. Hansen is he's a big dude. A lot of people just aren't very tall. You have Donovan Dijak. He's not in ROH anymore, unfortunately. But Dijak, I've interviewed Dijak on my show, so I like Dijak. I got respect for Dijak, but to me, he is just, his moveset does not match his size to
his
me. He's just the most awkward looking
I mean, he's in very good shape, but just the drop kicks and the leaps and the fly,
like Matt Morgan. It's like Matt Morgan. Doesn't match his body. Like, why are you doing cross body blocks? He's like 6'8".
Right. But at least with Morgan, at least he had the ferocity. At least he had the aggression.
Sure.
You know, at least he had that, you know, the boot. And he would do the Kevin Nash, you know, in the corner, you know, elbow smash type deal, and he would do those stuff. Like when you're a big guy, you have the elbow smashes in the corner, you have the shoulder thrust in the corner, you know, you have the boot, you know, the choking them out in the boot while they're in the corner, things like that. The, you know, the just a simple choke, just regular big person moves. But with Dijak, even when he was a heel, toward the latter part of his career when he was in ROH, he was more of a babyface. But even because he was with Leo Rush. But even then, though, even when he was a heel, when Prince Nana, it was really, really weird because he would come out and he would just, he didn't really look intimidating. You know what I mean? Like, he just, his gear, or it was something that he just looked like a oversized normal guy. And that was just, I just wish that ROH would have spent more time, and just Dijak too, you know, and if Dijak's listening to the show right now, you know, I wish that you would spend more time to really kind of revamp your character. You're a tall guy, you're a big guy, and I just, you know, the aerial moves and all that, just, it's probably not the best idea to have.
Yeah. I do agree with you. I never met Donovan. Haven't had the honor to meet him in person or talk before him. Unlike a lot of ex-RH, a lot of RH guys, I do know, but I agree with you. I always thought that when he would come out.
Yeah. So last week we talked about Rick Rude, the Hall of Fame, well deserved. Ricky Steamboat, I'm really looking forward to see that. I think last week I said I was supposed to make an announcement this week, so I'm gonna postpone it till next week. How about that? The suspense.
Okay.
But I'm leaking. I've been leaking it. But I mean, you know what the announcement is. But as far as my schedule coming up,
coming up
the next couple of weeks, but I'll say it next week, because there's, you know, a lot of stuff that's going to go on, so I really want people to be honed in and focused in to where I'm going to be, so we can meet up and do some things and talk and do some Q&A, and it's going to be really fun. So just really stay tuned for that. Next week we got a big interview as well. Just say we have interviews every week. Next week we got Pete Gass on the show. How about that? That's going to be really fun for next week. He's coming out with a book, and so we've been talking for a while, actually.
I spoke to him the end of last year. Very nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice guy.
Yep. Very, very relational. I'm really looking forward to speak to him. So, I had a really good conversation. Myself and Bill After, I was on the phone a couple days ago. We had a very long phone conversation, and just, Bill After, he's
Love After.
And,
little brother After.
He is, Bill is one of the most respected wrestling journalists in all of professional wrestling, and gave me some really good pointers just as a wrestling journalist, and just as far as my career. He said he reads my stuff all the time and really likes it, and so that was very encouraging to see that and to hear that from him. We're going to get him on the show. We're going to have him be a guest co-host and an interviewee, so just stay tuned. Those are just some things coming up the pike in the next couple of weeks. But just stay tuned. It's going to be really, really fun. We talked about Rick Rude last week. This week I want to talk about a person who
not, who they just said, no, we're not going to do this year. It was rumored that William Regal was supposed to be in there, and I just wrote an article on the Inquisitor tonight that, you know, they just, from PW Insider, I got, you know, I have to respectfully credit the source, they were the one who broke the news, that William Regal, from what they were told by some sources inside the company, the WWE just decided to nix his name. I mean, I'm sure that, you know, it may be there's a couple other people who we prefer to go in, because I'd imagine this isn't the end of the, because you still have the Legacy Award. Eric LeGrand, he had the Warrior Award, which, you know, that was an interesting package there. And I know the story that, you know, it's crazy. That was 7 years ago. Now that was crazy to me. I was like, wow, that was really 2010. That was 7 years ago. I remember when it first broke. But yeah, you know, and that's going to be really cool to see. But yeah, they still got some people, but it seems like they're kind of like, it seemed like William Regal missed the bus this year. You know, he's going to be in the Hall of Fame, that's no doubt, but it just seems like he missed the bus, which I don't think is fair, because not only has he achieved so much within his career, which has spanned, you know, nearly 35 years now, but at the same time, it's like he is such an integral part of NXT and the recruiting process. And just so much skills. He's really like Triple H's right hand man, and he's such a huge factor. And just, you know, he's been the past 6 years just really focusing and honing in NXT and FCW before the merge. And so, you know, I think they should have put him in the Hall of Fame if the reports are true. I definitely think it's a bad deal, you know, for the WWE, and he should be in the Hall of Fame for sure.
Yeah, I agree with good old Regal, a man's man.
He's a man.
One of my favorite, Lord Steven Regal with Sir William. Shout out to Bill Dundee's playing Sir William and Dave Taylor. He's the Lennox team on Earl Bobby Eaton. But if it's true, you know, why not add Regal? I mean, Regal's a legend. Regal's always been one of my favorites in the ring. If I had to do a top 20, would add Regal. Just his matches in WCW, seeing his matches around the world in the WWE, especially being the right hand man of Trips, you know, with NXT and helping out the Performance Center with him and Norman Smiley. Mr. Big Wiggle himself, even Dave Taylor.
Oh, but, Big Wiggle, baby.
Big Wiggle.
That's right.
The good thing with Regal is, Regal missed the bus this year, but Regal he's not a household name. He's not a blockbuster name.
Yeah.
So if Regal goes in next year, you know, is it really going to hurt him? Yeah, it will be great to put him in this year, but I feel it'll be overshadowed. You know, we got my good old buddy DDP. He's in the Hall of Fame this year. Our good old buddy Teddy Long. Did an interview, Kurt Angle. Those two names alone are huge. And then of course you have you have Rick Rude. You have good old buddies, the Rock and Roll Express. Good buddies with Ricky Morton, who's more to talk. And Robbie Gibson is always quiet. So, it's so many big names just on the Hall of Fame card as it is, and people that I know personally, I had the honor of interviewing. You know, with Regal, I said, why not wait the next year? Because maybe next year, we're not sure who's going to be inducted next year, but maybe do it next year.
I'd imagine Goldberg or The Rock could probably be the headliner.
Hopefully, if The Rock is inducted next year,
or Taker.
Do it to where. Taker's not. Excuse me. No, I think Taker's getting inducted, so he's officially done.
We'll talk about this a little bit before the doors of WrestleMania, but
yeah.
I think this may be it for him.
Nah, I don't believe it. I, I don't believe you told me. That
what's
was
left? Cena?
What? You already know what's left. Don't even act like you don't know what's left.
Cena? Is that really? I mean, is that it? Really? I mean, is Cena left? I mean, because they were talking about.
You already know what's left.
They were talking
taking,
about.
Taking the goat.
They were,
all they need
no.
to do is.
No,
all you need to do is take your sting and take in Cena.
Wishful thinking,
Evan. Money matches. Hey, I called Rock and Hogan back in the day, and people said the same thing. I can mention the other matches. People say we ain't ever think Triple H will face Sting either. Which
yeah,
we,
but
we
Rock was though. What was that? 18? That was what?
Uh-huh.
15 years ago. Rock was 30.
Yeah, it wasn't Rock. It was Hogan. Rock was in the
yeah, but no,
know,
but with Sting and Taker, they're both in their 50s. At least Rock was 30. At least he could carry it, though.
Don't,
I mean, Hogan
matter.
Was
it's
still.
All,
well,
it's
Hogan
all
was
about
what, late 40s, or early 50s.
Hogan's been 65. Hogan's been 65 anyway. So like Flair, when has Flair not been 40? I agree with you, man. I we can talk about it more later in the show. I just told you it's a big name appeal. Rock and Cena was never, both matches weren't good. There weren't no classics. You just put their name on a marquee and it makes money and events. But them not making any of these superstars, they're calling the crowd back, saying that's what Triple H said. Then you gotta dig, as they say in church, the old faithfuls. You gotta dig in the areas of the old time religions. You gotta get the old church mothers and the old deacons to revive the circuses of WrestleMania. But yeah. Man, Regal should go in next year. That way it's not as clouded. You know, Regal getting in this year, I think we just overshadow it and people just overlook it. You know, wait the next year. Classic. Love that. We used to love that Regal shuffle thing. What was that little dance shuffle you used to do in the ring?
Yeah.
We used to love that. And a Regal cutter.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I think you bring some really good points. I have to play this as a background music as we talk about Regal, because this theme song was one of the best WCW theme songs of all time. But, I think it's a good point. I think you bring up a good point when it comes to, you know, this year compared to next year it wouldn't kill Regal to wait until next year, but. It's like, who, you know, there's who's left, though? I mean, they were talking about Christian, possibly. But there's
a
lot of choices left, you know,
who cares?
I mean, who's left other than Regal, though? That
who cares
from
about
the rumors
Christian?
People. As far as you
who
and
cares
you
about
don't
Christian?
Really. I like Christian.
Yeah.
I think.
I like him, too. I like him. He's not Hall of Fame. That's the thing.
Yeah.
You get all the fame.
You don't think
year.
So?
No. I don't think he's Hall of Fame. I think he's very good. But I don't think he's Hall of Fame. I mean,
I've always liked
wise,
Christian better than Edge, though.
I agree with that. I think for the tag team, I think Christian, yeah. But I didn't even agree with Edge going to the Hall of Fame. It's like, what?
I agree. With all due respect to Edge, I especially as a headliner, though, I'm like, what?
When you do the Hall of Fame every year as opposed to every 2 or 3 years, and then not only that, when you have a good like 7 or 8 in entrance every year, it's like you just start adding people just to add them.
Yeah.
It's basically be DLC entrance. Even though I love baseball, even though I don't like how they do the Hall of Fame, make it like baseball. Baseball just announced their Hall of Fame selection. It was 3 people. What was it, 3, 4
mm-hmm.
people? That was it.
I think it's a spectacle now. I think the Hall of Fame has became such a part of the WrestleMania weekend. You know what I mean? Because, like, now, as both you and I know, like, WrestleMania is just not a day anymore. It's a weekend. It's Thursday through really Tuesday. If someone wants to encompass all of WrestleMania in one city, you have Thursday access, Friday, you know, Friday access, and you know, just different Q&As and different events from even outside of WWE, of former WWE people. Friday's Hall of Fame as well. Saturday's NXT, Sunday's WrestleMania, Monday's Raw in the same city, and a lot of times Tuesday, you know, they have SmackDown in the same city too, or at least a city that's close by. So, you know, it's one of those entire, you know, week, you know, 5 days type of deal. So, you know, I think the Hall of Fame, they really wanted them to. It's a spectacle. It's in an arena. You know, it's a big deal. It's a sporting event in and of itself. So, I think that's one of the reasons why they kind of make it a big deal as far as it goes. But it'll be fun to see. I'm okay with Christian going in, though. I always thought that he deserves a little bit better push. You know, there's been reports over the years that Vince McMahon, there's something about Christian, that he didn't like about, you know, he didn't like about him. But yeah, whatever it is, I always thought the Christian
his face
kind of, he got the shorter end of the stick, I think. And I think that by putting him in the Hall of Fame, it's like, job well done. You deserve it. You know, you kind of got the shorter end of the stick a lot of times in your career, but at least, you know, he was World Heavyweight Champion twice, ECW Champion, you know, Intercontinental Champion multiple times, Tag Team Champion multiple times.
I will get Christian as a grand. I'm not saying I don't like Christian. I do enjoy Christian in the ring. Christian was more tolerable to me than Edge.
Mm-hmm.
Christian's singles career had more overall had more life, overall body of work. Christian could work with anybody, and because he wasn't in the main event card so much, he was able to work with a variety of people. Edge,
right?
You know, it was limited. The Edge was working a lot of times with bigger people, but like I said, I did like Edge. I didn't really like Christian, but Christian, for his character, went through more evolution. It was just Edge standing around being emo when he debuted, trying to do like kind of how to hit that Sting do, stand in the crowd. Then he was with the Brood, and then it was Edge and Christian. At that end, Christian, he was Rob Zombie's buddy with the whole rock metal stuff and the new generation of SmackDown, and then he was Radio Superstar. Christian, you know, I mean, you had him game with the Brood, and then, you know, he's the, you know, also called him CLB, and then he was. You know, he did stuff in TNA, and then he came up with Tom Cole for a bit, and then he had the Peeps, and he had the great feud with Orton. So Christian.
Hey, he feuded with Goldberg, too. Edge can't say that.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did.
He was NWA Heavyweight Champion as well, so he can't say that either.
Yep. So, yeah, I mean, I would say singles career, I would prefer Christian, even though, like you say, his name isn't as big as Edge.
Right.
But, I don't know. And like I said, if he gets in the Hall of Fame, I can't say he doesn't deserve it. I just, in my personal view, if he's my vote, I mean, it's not his fault. I just think Vince never liked his face. I don't know if anybody knows about the story. Vince has said before he's on a plane, and Vince has always thought Christian had a ratty face. He just never liked how Christian's face looked. And if the big boss and the big cheese don't like how your face looked, you're not going to be WWE champion, which is why he got the world title on SmackDown. But like you said, if he gets in, I'm happy for him. I like Christian. I never disliked him. I thought he was funny. Always been in good shape. I mean, is he retired? Is he not retired? Make up your mind. And, I really liked him. I really did. And I feel like if Vince put the machine behind him like he did Edge, then I think Christian would have had some better matches than Edge. So, like you said, he's feuded with Goldberg and Rock and different
pieces.
So,
yeah, awesome, good stuff. Let's spend some time real quick to talk about. this is some funny stuff of what happened. I had a chance to cover a whole lot of this on Wrestling Inc. this past weekend. Wrote about 3-4 articles about this just over the weekend, as far as. Rebby Hardy just lashing out of just, I mean, going to town on TNA.
Going to the woodshed.
Yeah, I mean, talk about your, you know, your beating, you know, it's your lashes. Yikes. You know, and it, here's the thing. I think it was bad taste. That's one of the things. This is what Matt Hardy wants to do with the tweets of Rebby Hardy.
Delete! 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 Delete!
All of them. All of them. Delete. 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 Yeah, but here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. Even with the bad taste, I think that I don't think that that took away from the truth of the text, though. Why would she be just throwing stuff out there that doesn't make sense? A lot of stuff that she said, even though it was bad taste and hard to read because it was just so vulgar, you know, it made sense. I mean, as far as just the contract issues that she was talking about, as far as the exclusivity, you know, the fact that he was able to use the broken character in indie, so it wasn't an exclusive thing with Anthem and TNA, just the really rough relationship that they had with Ed Nordholm for the Anthem, you know, rep, and of course Jeff Jarrett. Just, I mean, there were so many things that you know, she was talking about with just Anthem and TNA and Jarrett. But, you know, again, PW Insider broke the news that, you know, from the information that they received, the reason why Anthem is going ahead with the legal issues is because, and here's the thing, it technically it makes sense because, you know, they said that the reason what sparked Anthem to sue Matt Hardy was because he was trying to file a trademark. Now, I don't think that that really makes sense, but they don't want Matt Hardy to receive full revenue for the broken character, although the majority of it was his ideas. Not all of it was. So he shouldn't get 100% revenue for even if he had 98% of the character that he made. And, you know, it was the Hardy Complex, you know, it was shot in his home. He even funded, you know, some footage, some tapings, you know, to really help TNA. So, you know, he could get all, you know, he could go for all that back, and it's just a tug of war. It's just a lot of crap that's going on. But, you know, if he's trying to profit, you know, with WWE and stuff like that, it does make sense that Anthem's trying to get a cut from that, even if it's not 100%, you know, even if it's 2% of what they came up with. I understand that if he's trying to take that 2% and take it to the WWE, I can see why, you know, Anthem will try to sue him. But I don't think Anthem has really a leg to stand on, because if it's an intellectual property battle that they're doing, you know, the broken character, it's so Matt Hardy, but he wasn't allowed to use it at their 15th anniversary show because Anthem sent the cease and desist to the pay-per-view provider. So it's just so much going with that, and it's just such a bad taste for Anthem and Impact Wrestling. It really is.
Yeah, it's, you know, with Rebby Scott, Rebby Hardy, I'm just like this, to shut up and play your piano. Just, you're just doing too much. You're doing the tweets. Good gosh. That was like a script of a Quentin Tarantino movie, and I love his movies. But to be safe, I mean, she was right. Everything she said was correct. I had a friend that asked me, was like, well, how could, is it with her tweets hurt Hardy's case? I said, no, because the lawsuit isn't against her. It's against Matt. You know, if you don't think about law, if you're getting sued or you're going through a lawsuit, anything that you say, that's why Hardy's quiet. Hardy isn't tweeting anything. He isn't saying anything about the actual case. But if you do, that can be used against you, you know, in the court of law, you know, law and order, ding, ding, thing. But, I mean, yeah, Rebby's right. I feel Anthem is this, that his butt hurts. TNA or Impact or Anthem of Impact or Anthem Our Impact, whatever you want to call it.
OWL.
OWL. That was their dumb move. They should have kept the Hardy Boys. They decided not to, so just suck it up. Let them, you know, just let them be themselves. I mean, they signed the short term. They signed a short term deal with RH. You know, Matt can't use his broken character. Hardy can't really use the broken Brother Nero character. Like I said, it costs money. It'll be settled soon. Hardy should win. Anthem didn't have anything to stand on. It is better. Get over it. Move on about your life. Use that money to try to bring in more talent and to try to keep recreating. You know, as Warrior said, try to recreate something that's unrecreatable, which isn't a word, but a Warrior said it.
The power of the Warrior.
Yeah, the Warrior. One Warrior Nation. Thank you.
Oh, wow.
Between Warrior and Savage, they can always be mimicked.
Ooh, yeah!
Absolutely. All right, let's get to Rusev. Man, Rusev Crush. I was just watching, WrestleMania 31 again. We'll be talking about that here soon. Man, had such a big prominent role in WrestleMania 31 and League of Nations last year. We'll talk about that next week. But, man, he's gone. He didn't have a big role. I mean, you know, he hasn't had a big role in quite some time. I mean, since, you know, him and Roman Reigns for the U.S. title. But, you know, Jinder Mahal and Lana and Enzo, that was kind of an angle that they were doing for a few weeks, which, you know, has some interest to it. But he hasn't been relevant. He got the Cena snake. He got Cena snake bit, basically, similar to Wade Barrett and Bray Wyatt for a long time. Alex Riley, you know, he got Cena snake bit, man, and unfortunately, he's still kind of licking his wounds.
Yeah, I can honestly say I had no idea Rusev was hurt. So, you told me about it earlier.
Yeah.
I guess, I mean, Rusev just been on TV, off TV. I was thought he was just off. It's funny because I just sent one of my staff members a little joke. I said, "Do you know who this guy is?" And I sent her his government name. She was like, "Who that?" I said, "That's Rusev." So I've been in touching distance of Rusev when he was. When Raw was here, I believe a year or so ago, and we was back in the area where the gate, where the gate is at, where the wrestlers leave, and we was going to the car. Rusev's a big dude, so he drove a small car. Rusev's a big guy; he drove like a little small Honda. But it's hard for Rusev. I mean, he's not going to be at Mania because he's hurt. Hopefully, he can come back and it's repackaged and let him be a monster heel again. Let him just beat the crap out of people. Like Rocky IV, like Drago. Tim talking I enjoyed, but this happens to beat the crap out of people. You don't have too many people doing it. Like how they're pushing Strowman, that's how Rusev was. He's on Raw, he doesn't have to worry about Captain 4 Kid Cena blocking him. Like he's like all monsters, when he hit the Cena wall, they just all of a sudden just die. And his charisma are the same. Bring him back. He cut his hair. You know, bring him back.
I don't like that haircut, though. Ugh, no way.
Yeah, I like them all.
You gotta grow that hair back.
I rather the haircut than a mutton chops he was had for like a week.
Yeah, that was bad too. But at least I can grow quick, but that haircut just no way. Speaking of cut, Jack Swagger is now this.
I'll be away and classify myself as obsolete.
He is obsolete from the WWE. He is gone. We talked a lot about Swagger. There's not too much to talk about with Swagger, you know. But like I said, I think he'll do well. I think this isn't a very big step back for Swagger. He's a great talent. I think he'll do very well if they want to bring him in TNA. I'd imagine he'll have a no compete. So you know, you're talking about June. So, you know, TNA wants to bring him in June. If, of course, he can do indies because the no-compete doesn't, It doesn't include non-televised appearances. So, you know, ROH or TNA, if they want to bring them in come June, you know, OWL, if they want to bring them in. But, you know, you've got so many different, you know, you've got Evolve, you got PWG, you've got so many different reputable, you know, indie promotions, Northwest, or Northeast Wrestling, Kurt Angle and Cody Rhodes just, you know, tore the house down for them. So there's so many different promotions that Jack Swagger would be totally fine. I'm sure he's going to charge a pretty penny for his fees for his appearance, and he'll be fine. He'll be well off.
He's going to charge at least $4K, at least.
Yeah.
I can guarantee you that. Getting Swagger for any event is going to be at least $4K. Just to tell you now.
Yeah.
And I'm not telling you my sources and how I know. I'm just telling anybody listening, there's a promoter. If you want the honor to have him on your show, it's going to be at least $4K.
Yep.
And
sounds
that's under.
Right.
That's not even an over under. That's definitely, I'm being nice saying 4K.
Yeah, that sounds about right. My boy, Christopher Daniels, been on the show twice. We text a lot. We're talking as well. Just I would say that out of the 80s and 90s, I keep saying this ballpark figures. I stopped counting at like 70, and that was like I think like last summer. So I don't know exactly where I'm at when it comes to interviews. Probably upwards of 90. That was total interviews here on the Pancakes Power Slam show.
Even with interview.
So
I stopped counting.
But I need to start counting though, because I'm actually uploading all of the interviews on the Crave Wrestling YouTube page that you should all go subscribe to.
Yes,
subscribe to the Pancakes and Power Slam show page. Absolutely. So go there, subscribe. I've got like 5 or 6 interviews up so far. So if you want to, you know, back in 2012, 2013, 2014, if you want to go back and check the retro interviews so far, go there. But yeah, out of all the people I've interviewed, Chris is probably the most awesomest person. One of the most awesomest. I just came up with that word. Awesomest persons. That I've kept in touch with, and there's a few people that I still am cool with. We'll text every now and then, but Chris is just a genuine he's almost 47 years old, well deserved.
50.
Yeah, I mean, it's like
50.
Out of almost 50 years old, he finally has his first major world championship, and man, it couldn't have happened to a better person. And Chris, you know, 25 years in the business, he deserves every single bit of it. Well done, Christopher Daniels. You deserve it. This is your moment, and you deserve it so much.
I would say this about Christopher Daniels. I'm good friends with some people that he does business with. I'm not gonna mention names. So I haven't had the honor yet of interviewing Daniels on my show. I have had the honor of meeting Daniels in person, getting over times at shows. Very great guy. Shout out to KST. And it's funny because I always said I love the addiction or bad influence. When you see those two together on TV. Their roles are opposite when you meet a person. On TV, Daniels is the one that talks most and Kaz is the one that's quiet. When you meet him in person, Kaz is the one that talks most, Daniels is the one that's quiet, more than the quieter one. But Daniels is a great guy. I'm definitely happy for him. Shout out to one of my correspondents, Toph. We just talked about this on my show last week, how Christopher Daniels is almost 50. He looks great, and he has yet to win a major title.
Mm-hmm.
And just when he put it up there at our age 15th anniversary, he won the title, you know, which is good for him.
Yeah.
So I'm glad for him. He looks good. my co-sponsor Jordan said one day he wants to use Christopher Daniels' head as a mirror. It is always shiny.
Yeah, it sure is, absolutely. So well done, Chris.
I'll mention this too. I know you probably definitely haven't heard this. It's something when WWE stars do it, Captain Full Kids John Cena does it, and New Day does it, it gets all the accolades. But I'm gonna read something that I have exclusive from one of my sources. Ring of Honor stars such as Don Castle, Adam Cole, Bobby Fish, Randy Leon, and others visited the kids at the Sunrise Children's Hospital Saturday as a part of Ring of Honor's 15th anniversary weekend. I'll be forwarding you Featherstone the pictures. So if you
yeah,
see
the
RH, oh, you do? Okay. So just to put it out there that other people in the wrestling world besides the WWE do community work. RH stars do. People that's a part of the Anthem of Owl, whatever you want to call the Owl Anthem, TNA Impact.
OWL.
They do community work. So I just want to give a shout out to them. A shout out to my good old brother, Mark Presco, one of my buddies and publicists in the wrestling business.
Yeah. Really, really cool, dude. Yeah. So, all right. So, real quick, let's get to the Raw and SmackDown before we get to the WrestleMania analysis. So, let us know your thoughts on Raw and SmackDown. You know what? I haven't played the Raw and SmackDown intro music in a while, so let's do that.
Great things, and we don't know what in the world to either of them says.
No clue.
Best things,
no
we
clue.
Don't know any of the words.
Yes, no clue. Yes, it was some type of unknown tongue. Raw and SmackDown reviews.
You want me to go first?
Yep.
I enjoy SmackDown. Good to see blood on USA. Surprisingly, we got color.
Styles
getting fired, and of course Styles going against Shane McMahon for Mania. Excuse me. I'm not sure if you know, but Corey Graves has went on record in a recent interview saying he loves AJ Styles. He's not a fan of this match. I'm a fan of the match only because I'm a fan of Shane and AJ. Not so much of the storyline, but good to see Styles attack Shane. Good to see these show Styles go back in Gorilla. They kind of break the fourth wall. I like Corbin and Dean Ambrose. The end of the SmackDown, the main event being a tag match, I'm like, is this Nitro 95? You know, the Usos against the Usos, the Thug Usos. Which I don't know, some of them is off. I just thought the
really?
Match was a little off.
I like
them. The Usos,
like
the Usos
them,
against American Alpha. I like the Usos and characters. I just think the chemistry in that match just seemed a little off to me.
Yeah.
Even though I do like American Alpha, the New Age Steiners, and the Usos. Overall, I thought SmackDown was okay. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. They're back to a T-Man team. It's no more kiddie table. Squishing four people in the commentator.
Well, it's back. He'll be back next week. Was gone because of traveling issues. There was a bunch of airports that were shut down today. David O'Tuck is filming a movie.
Oh, okay. WWE Films?
Probably so. I'd imagine.
We can't wait for that. Cannot wait for that.
Straight to DVD.
Yeah. Can't wait. I know we got hit with ice and snow here in Baltimore, but hey, overall, Raw, little small things in Raw. At the beginning of Raw was just whatever, same old Heyman talking with Brock, just getting kind of old. Nia Jax, I do love how she looks. I like how she looked at Bayley and said, woman, little girl. I love little girl. I love Jericho's segment. And I like the ending of Raw. I really did like the ending of Raw with Foley and Triple H going back and forth, and Stephanie and Triple H and DeSacco and Survivor's coming out. I thought Raw wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. And me having my eye of extreme detail, once Rollins came out with new merchandise, it's okay, Rollins wrestling at Mania. WWE's not going to put money into somebody that's on the shelf for Mania if they can't sell. So he had his new little hoodie and his new shirt, and I thought it was good. So I enjoyed Raw. I enjoyed both.
I said this before. Two things were wrong, just for time. I was a big fan of the Shawn Michaels involvement with Roman Reigns. It was good. I liked it. I think it was a good idea. I think it was a really good way to bring an added element to the feud because, you know, Shawn Michaels coming out there and talking about it. You know, so, and what made it even cooler, though, is that Shawn Michaels said, hey, I'm on your side. Because I was kind of expecting, like, hey, you know, we were into the best matches in WrestleMania history at 25 and 26. I don't think he could do it because I didn't do it. I thought that's what I was expecting. And he was like, hey, I'm on your side. And I was like, oh, that's even an interesting, you know, take on it. And even that he was, you know, even he was getting the respect and the well wishes of Michaels. You know, Roman Reigns is like, you know, with all due respect, I don't need it. And, you know, Undertaker retired you and I'm going to retire him. I thought that was good. I really thought the back and forth was really good between them. What just totally just killed it 100% was the Strowman involvement. That was absolutely horrible. It's like here's one of the things with professional wrestling. When it comes to pops, when it comes to chants, that really kind of build up whatever's going on, not just some crazy CM Punk chants, you know, squash that all the time. But when it comes to chants that are relevant, when it comes to moments, when it comes to angles, segments, all that, you cannot squash a moment. You cannot squash a chant. You have to allow those things. I was just watching. We'll get here. And just a few, but I was watching WrestleMania 31 again, and The Rock is so good at that. Like, he will allow a chant to go. He will not step on a chant at all. Like, he'll look around. And he has really good mannerisms. He'll just let it go, and he'll play on it. You know, he'll you know, talk about electrifying. I mean, he lives up to it. And I haven't been the biggest Rock fan for a long time, but I'm starting to get the respect back the past couple of years, you know, with The Rock, just because just to see him and just the cadences, just the really subtle things that the majority of this era, they don't have those cadences. They don't have those timing cues that a lot of the, you know, wrestlers from the Attitude Era and they have, and even Ruthless Aggression in some sense. But, you know, he does such a good job with that. With Michaels, of course, he's a veteran at that. With Roman Reigns, it was even good. So in order to draw suspense, soak that moment, you allow it to rest and settle in, and that's it. You know, that's your cliffhanger for the next week. And to even bring it up to a different, to even greater dimension, I would have even had Roman Reigns Superman punch or Spear Shawn Michaels. Talk about getting your heat. That would have even been better. And I think just bringing Braun Strowman out there just killed it to me.
Yeah. I know we different opinion with this. I will say this. I would have did it. I just would have did it different. I agree with you where you had to have Reigns, Superman punches Skye Michaels to put him over as a heel. Well, not as a heel, but just give him that little edge that, look, I'm going to do what I have to do. I'm going to get everybody's attention. You get what I mean? That little extra edge. Wait, Reigns scared Michaels just because he can, just because he's pissed off, he's mad. Because Michaels interrupted him, because he wanted to take him, Michaels came out. And Michaels is on his side, but why not? Michaels can take him off. The Strowman interference, I really didn't disagree with it, but I feel like he could have did that later on in the segment. Like, they're soaking with Reigns, and Reigns still would have been adamant about having a Taker come out. Then you could have had Strowman come out in the tank.
But for what, though? That's the thing. If Reigns is getting the heat, what is Strowman going to do? He took the heat away.
Because granted, I agree, they shouldn't have had Strowman come in right after this segment, but I would have had Strowman still attack Reigns, because we have to remember, Strowman and Reigns are still in a feud. Strowman still wants his revenge from Reigns. That isn't over. And some of that is against WWE, because you have Braun built so strong as a monster. You had Braun come out, and it's the same thing. You had Braun Strowman come out last week calling out Reigns, but you have Undertaker interrupt him. You have Strowman walk away,
yep.
And then you had Reigns come out. So it is not really Strowman's fault, but it's still WWE.
I'm okay with Strowman. Like, if he wants to do, if he still wants to get revenge with Roman Reigns, okay, so be it. But don't have it at that segment. Like, have it at, like, backstage or something like that.
Yeah,
like,
that's what I mean. Yeah,
you know what I mean?
They could have did, right, they could have did something later on in the night where
Roman
comes back out, or Roman's backstage and is like, I want to take her, have him interview somebody, and then Strowman could have, you know, barraged him and knocked him out, and then you could have set up for next week. But
exactly.
I agree with you, because it's like, what was the point of having HBK come out there to have him talk without having him get put in the spear or Superman punch?
I agree. And in my last part, real quick, we got a few minutes. The ending was good. I liked the Foley thing. There was a lot of emotion into it. I think that the WWE dropped the ball, though. I don't want to see Seth Rollins in a singles match, because he's coming right from a knee injury. He's going to give it all. He's going to give it his all. You know, in Orlando, it's really a liability at this point. I would be totally okay if it was a tag match with Joe and Triple H. I think that they dropped the ball.
And Balor.
I think that Triple H should have set up a pedigree for Seth Rollins. He toward the entrance, so they have that hard camera shot toward the, you know, as far as the entrance. Lights go off. Finn Balor comes out, saves the day, sets up a tag team match between, you know, Rollins and Balor against Joe and Triple H, because that gives Joe a really, really good WrestleMania moment, and it pumps Finn Balor's return.
Yeah, it protects Rollins.
And it protects Rollins, exactly.
But his knee, but like I said, his knee can't be so much solid if you're putting him in a reverse figure four for Indian Death Lock.
Yeah.
So.
You want to be very careful with that. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
Triple H messes up so many good dress clothes, though. I'm a suit man. Anybody that knows me knows I have a man of many suits, like Osmo Dragon or Mil Mascaris Man of a Thousand Masks. I have tons of suits. Everybody in the business knows me with that. And it just irritates when I see, you know, guys rip open their dress shirt and their tie.
Yeah, the buttons pop out. Yeah.
I just hate that. I'm like, no, it's custom made, so you can tell. But I know that's nitpicking.
Yeah. Real quick for me, for SmackDown Live, it was solid. I don't think it was a lot of you know, excitement to it, but it was okay to me. I like the Shane thing, you know. But I just wonder how they're going to do that, though, because AJ Styles gets so many pops. I think this could help him, you know, go the heel route, because people don't, you know, Shane is so over with the crowd. So I think it'll work. The Orton and Wyatt segment was just weird.
Oh, gosh. I forgot about that. Putting dust in your mouth.
Yeah, that was weird.
Well, once again,
really
where's, like Strowman. Where's Harper? You got Strowman, you got Nia Jax, you got Harper. And you done built all three of them up to be monsters or at least over. What are they doing for Mania? Are you just going to download them into Andre the Giant,
yep.
Royal? Who
That's
cares about that? You know,
exactly.
What about Harper, man? Like, I would have said let it be a triple threat. Let it be Orton,
I agree.
Bray, and Harper. Because, I don't know. I mean, Bray's great in the ring, and I enjoy Orton. I don't know if they have enough chemistry to make a good WrestleMania match.
That was the thing before Orton even joined the Wyatt. Like the matches that they had, the pay per views before then, it didn't click. People just weren't into it. And people, I mean, it's the same thing now. I mean, of course, there's a little bit of a greater element to it, and plus the titles on the line. But the matches weren't that good. So I agree. I would have totally put Harper in there as well. So, by the way,
it is now time for the flavor of the week.
WrestleMania 31, real quick. There were only six matches on the card, not including Seth Rollins cashing in. So you had the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal and the Fatal 4-Way Tag Match on the pre-show. What'd you get from those matches?
It was all right. Yeah. It was, you know, the Memorial Battle Royal, I forgot. I believe this one where Mysterio was in it.
I think that was 30. I know that.
I got mixed up.
Yeah, that was 30. Let's see.
Yeah,
you got Axel, Rose, Fandango, Riley, Ryder, Bo Dallas, Hideo, Tommy, because, yeah, he was there. Fernando Diego, Tyson Kidd, Sin Cara, Connor Victor, Young Slater, Titus O'Neil, Mark Henry, New Day, Swagger, Rowan, Goldust, Kane, Uso, Jimmy Uso, because Jay was hurt, I think. Ryback, Miz, Cesaro, and Miz Dow.
Yeah. I mean, I love Miz Dow. I definitely love that. The Battle Royal was okay. I didn't really write many notes for the pre-show.
Yeah, me either. Ladder match for the Intercontinental Championship.
It was all cool. It was a high five for the whole match. Everyone got their shine. Dean Legit got hurt from the powerbomb up on the ladder. Featured three people who are not active anymore. Stardust, Daniel Bryan, and Barrett. Winner Daniel Bryan wins. This will be now his last WrestleMania match due to a retired neck injury. Also, Bobby, when a crew member walking in front of the hard camera while Jibble, Cole, and King were talking about the upcoming Orton and Rollins match.
Yeah. And funny thing, as of today, R-Truth is the only person out of that match who's never been Intercontinental Champion. Randy Orton, Seth Rollins, J&J Security. We saw Finn Finley and Jamie Noble. So what is that like?
Yeah.
J&F Security during SmackDown?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, we're breaking kayfabe. You know who's breaking Gorilla. That match, I got a Rollins face full of water. Laugh out loud. Good double DDT spot on J&J Security. We miss you, Curb Stomp, and we miss you, Orton Punt. JBL head got knocked over. Actually, JBL's head took a bump. King said, you know they can kick out a finishing move because it's WrestleMania, which is true because all finishers are kicked out at least once in WrestleMania. Winner Randy Orton, reversal KO. Shout out to the helicopter that was in the hard camber Orton did his winning pose on the top.
Yeah. And they said that was Orton's 12th straight WrestleMania, so I'm going to do some digging and see all the matches that he was in, those 12 WrestleManias. Let's just spend like 45 seconds on Triple H's thing, because I could go in a whole hour on how terrible this was, but what are your takeaways?
Japanese drummers were off the big Great crowd reaction to Sting.
They were off.
Stay quiet.
Yes.
They were off. Gosh. And I'm a musician, and I know that. Commentary stayed quiet during Sting's entrance. Rachel Wage, entrance with Terminator, probably took up most of the WrestleMania budget. Let's take a lot of psychology by Triple H, a good taste, good sports analogies by JBL, and then DX comes out, what the hell? Billy Gunn in those neon green shoes. Match pro, like 3 minutes till the NWO can make it to the ring. Why is the NWO even helping out Sting? HBK treats Jimmy to get you to connect with Sting's face. Sting in their bar spot. California Life didn't treat you well, buddy. HBK got booed. Let me get this straight. So Sting breaks your waist and sledgehammer in half to get a knock Sting off for the 10. Good match, dumb cameos. Sting clearly said, I'm not here for WCW. I'm here to take Triple H down. So how does that ending make any sense? Also, combined age for DX in the ring is 242 years. Combined age for the NWO, without Sting is 178, with Sting is 235. All total ages combined, 477 years.
Wow. There's more than
that's
one
old
match that we don't have time for right now. AJ and Paige against the Bellas. We only have like 2 minutes left, so that's not even worth it. Cena Rusev, decent match. Rusev won Fastlane beforehand. I was refreshed on that, and the Russian entrance was pretty cool too, coming out the tank. That was pretty nice. The American tribute was pretty nice with Cena too. That I was refreshed for.
Yeah.
That was cool. So you said take your way. Yeah, you said Taker Bray never happened, right?
Yeah, real quick today, you know, Taker Bray never happened. The daylight really did hurt their interests.
Yes, it did, very much.
This match is in the same category you never talked about. and when has Taker never looked old?
Yeah. That was like, it was like ABA Biker Taker cut.
He was a lot of dye for his hair, too. You can clearly see that. A lot of black dye.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so real quick, we're going to get your shout-outs here in a minute. Any real quick takeaways on the Triple Threat? I thought it was a really good match. It was a part-timer versus someone that's a full-time current person. A lot of people want to see, you know what I mean, but they complain about. But this was the match. This was the part-timer against the full-timer.
Yeah, looking back at that match today and even yesterday, I really enjoyed it. Good match by Brock. Brock the great with the title. Reigns really did it. You can even look at Reigns now. See, he's even grown since then. The fans was going Reigns then, but I thought it was good. And then Rollins cashing in was a mania moment, but he really didn't need it. Even if it is tough, it's Brock against Reigns. And people forget Suplex City. Okay, we get it. Brock the Suplexes. You also forget the fact that Suplex City was around before. He had Kurt Angle and Chris Benoit. Chris Benoit never happened. I guess we just got to go with Kurt Angle, or even the Steiner brothers, or Taz.
Yeah. Yeah, so Meltzer said that he even actually reported recently that it was supposed to be Reigns beating Lesnar, but they made the audible because of the crowd reaction, so that's how Rollins got the cash in. But very, very interesting stuff. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be talking about 32 next week. We'll also have Pete Gas. Let the listeners know about UTMR.
Hey, everybody, for listening to Fingers and Power Slam, this is Evan Tech Pro. I'm delivering radios live every Tuesday night, live, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Check us out on Blog Talk Radio. Check us out on YouTube. Please subscribe to our channel. Please listen to our interview we had earlier today with famed musician and author Daryl Davis, who wrote a book on clandestine relationships, a black man's journey through the mindset of the Ku Klux Klan. Very informative. And it's played with Chuck Berry, played with Bill Clinton, played with Jerry Lee Lewis. Definitely great. Please check it out. And you'll hear from us next week.
Good stuff. And of course, ladies and gentlemen, go to the Crave Wrestling Facebook page, subscribe on the Crave Wrestling YouTube page, and follow us at Twitter on Crave Wrestling. Ladies and gentlemen, this is 259 episodes. Thanks again for Road Warrior Animal for valuing your time for some really good information. Thank you for the chat. It was really good stuff. It was good to see, good to talk to, my favorite tag team, of all time, one half of them. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is Chris Featherstone. This is Evan Tech Price. This is 259 episodes of the Pancakes and Power Slam show. So, God bless you all. And until next week, enjoy your week of wrestling. And we'll be here, God willing, to talk more wrestling on the heels. The wrestling.
It's been an honor.
You all have a blessed night, and God bless you all. Go ahead, Evan.
It's been an honor.
Has been an honor. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Chris Featherstone signing off. Crave Wrestling 259. You all have a blessed night. Goodbye.
Take care, guys.